Hello and welcome to Social, the Power of Relationships podcast. I am Josh.
I'm Jason.
Today we're going to be talking about making friends. So, Jason, you have a quote for us, I think.
So this quote is from Dale Carnegie from his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says, "Remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language."
Isn't that true, though? Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when someone says your own name to you, you know, there's something about it. There's something, it makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Just your name, which is
It makes me strange. Feel like I'm seen.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel appreciated that someone actually remembers me, remembers who I am.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, when we, in order to help other people feel good, just saying their name will make them feel good.
It does. It makes them feel instantly that you're their friend.
Yeah.
And
I know. And it's, I for whatever reason, sometimes I struggle to say people's names to them. Not always, but like at least new people. Mm-hmm. I also struggle with nickname. I'm not a nickname guy.
Yeah,
some people are good with nicknames, but I just can't. I feel uncomfortable. I can't pull off a nickname for somebody else.
Yeah, I can't do it either.
Yeah,
I've been given nicknames in the past, but I've never liked any of them.
Yeah, I mean, so same here.
I can't see myself giving someone else a nickname.
Yeah,
and occasionally in my family, we've all kind of given ourselves little nicknames, but they're still off of what our names are. Uh-huh. In my family. Mine was JJ, just because my mom would get my name confused with my brother, his name's Jeffrey, so she'd start with Jason, and then she just started going JJ.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I have younger siblings where my sister Julia, I call her Juju or Jules, something on that lines.
Yeah, like some people, I'm more comfortable with it, but. Yeah.
And by the way, not everyone's named a J in my family. Just so you know, that's just
there was
a random
three.
Happenstance.
That was three
There's
for three.
Three.
Yeah.
That's just three.
That's funny. But it's true. I like that thought. I like that quote. I think it's true. Have you ever read that book?
I did. I've read it multiple times, probably 10 times at least.
Yeah. I've never read it, but I've always intended to, and I just never have.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
Anytime I feel like I am struggling in a relationship, I read that book and go, "Oh, that's where I went wrong." Because there's 13 principles that that Dale Carnegie goes through in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what they are. I've tried to memorize them, but I haven't accomplished that quite yet. Uh-huh. But I know there's at least 13. And anytime I've messed up in a relationship, or felt like there's something amiss, I'll go back and I have it on audible.com, so I listen to it, and I always find where I went wrong. Always.
Interesting.
And it's like, oh, but in fact, the last one, I'm trying to remember the last relationship that I felt like there was just something just slightly off, and I reviewed it, and it was the fact that I wasn't showing enough appreciation to them.
Interesting.
I wasn't pointing out all the good things they were doing for me and for other people.
And so were you able to correct that at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As soon as I did that, that relationship went back to growing instead of decreasing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But going back to the idea of making friends.
Yeah. How do we make friends?
Sounds so cheesy. I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't think of anything.
No, that's better, right. I mean, anyway, I mean, like it's something that we all understand, right? Friends. It's a simple idea, but it's something that we all understand. But we also, I think, struggle with it as we get older, especially.
Oh yeah.
Have you noticed that when you're a kid, it's easier to make friends?
It is, just because you're not as scared as making mistakes as a kid.
Like, yeah.
And as a kid, you look at them and go, "Oh, I like the toy you're playing with," and you go up and ask them if you can play it, or you just take it from them.
Then you know, probably don't make friends that way.
That's right. Yeah, there's a good way to everything.
We have less prejudices because we have less experiences, so we haven't been burned as much, or we haven't been jaded by the by the negativity of the world, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
And so we don't assume that it's going to end badly, or that we're going to be rejected, or that somebody's going to be mean to us, or that we're, that they won't.
Or they're not in a part of life that would be beneficial for you.
Yeah.
And that's one that goes through my mind a lot.
We just see a person. Yeah. And we see some kind of
connection
and we just go and talk or, you know, play with them or whatever. And, yeah. And then that's it. That's all we needed, right?
That's right. So I've put a lot of thought into this, and there's three points that have always come back to me on the process of making friends. And those three points are finding a connection, inviting them to do something with you, and then managing expectations, because we all have expectations that we say and not say, mm-hmm. and being aware of those things. Mm-hmm.
So
we'll go into that one in a second.
Yeah, because that's the third one on the list. Yeah.
First one is connection. So it's all about finding things that you can relate with a person. Uh-huh. So last week we talked about, or a couple of episodes ago, we talked about working the room, and you go into it and you're basically looking for things that you can appreciate about people, things that you can connect with, like shoes. That's such a simple thing, but mm-hmm. and you walk up to someone and say, wow, you have a nice pair of shoes, or you just notice them, anything that you notice about them that you can appreciate, and you express that appreciation, like, oh, thank you, you know, and that gives you an opening to then say, how's your life? What are you up to? Like, what do you do with your time? And, or where do you work? You know,
because you have something that you find that is clearly a value to them, or mm-hmm. or something, and that's something that you can value as well to make a connection, something that's common between you. So like shoes, even though it might not be a passion of yours, and it's probably not even a passion of theirs, everyone needs shoes, but what is of value to them is their own feelings of self-worth, right? And so you can boost that by complimenting anything about them.
Right. We all have that in common.
Yeah.
We all have clothing in common.
Yeah. And so you can compliment them on their shoes, and instead of, it's not really about the shoes, right?
It's about them.
And making them feel good. And so, and they value feeling good. Mm-hmm. And so do you, probably. So
right. But it's even deeper than that too. I mean, it's not, I definitely want to make people feel good and comfortable, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's not with just that intent. It's with the intent of looking for ways to bless their lives, mm-hmm. To help them in some form or another. Like, if we all had that intent when we approach someone, I think the world would be a better place.
Yeah.
But
how can I improve this person's life?
Yeah. Yeah. How can we, how can I make them feel special? And just because right. Everyone needs to feel that, you know?
Yeah. Or, because it will improve. Because I think, you know, one of the things is that it makes us feel good.
Right? It does.
Like that, I've thought about the concept of selfishness, or, you know, selflessness, mm-hmm. a lot. And I think that quite often, actually, everything is selfish, because even when we do something good for somebody, and we do it because it makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, if it made us feel terrible, we just wouldn't do it.
Right.
You know, and we still don't even do it anyway. But the only reason we do it is because it makes us feel good.
Right. Selfish and selflessness, you know, that one's a hard one. I definitely agree, because there's the only way I've ever managed to find peace with that thought was, is selfish is you're thinking too much of yourself, while mm-hmm. selfishness is you're thinking of yourself less. But you're still doing actions and things that bring you peace and bring you happiness in life. But those actions are more focused towards bringing that into other people's lives as well.
Right. And I think that, like, so in that, with that concept, I think sometimes we have a tendency to repress our own. We feel like it's bad to have our own thoughts or feelings. But I think thinking less of ourselves isn't, we're not thinking less of ourselves because we're bad if we do.
Right.
But we're thinking, not thinking less of like ourselves.
Little of ourselves, but right. thinking less about ourselves, but
we're thinking less about ourselves simply because we don't need to.
Exactly.
Because we feel great.
Yeah.
Right? Because our needs are met and we feel great and we feel good about ourselves, and therefore we don't need to worry about how we're feeling or
exactly.
what,
because when,
we feel good.
When all your needs are met and you're taken care of, I mean, what else is there to think about? Yeah. Other people. Like, that's it.
Sharing that.
And if you can't let it, I found for me personally, if I can't just let go of myself, like when all my needs are met and I'm still thinking of myself, then there's a problem.
Yeah. Well, and this, I think this ties into the topic today perfectly. Making a connection with somebody else is letting go of our own worries, our own doubts, our own fears, all of the uncomfortable things about our feelings, just letting them go, and going to partake in the joy of connecting with another human being. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. You know, but because largely because it will benefit both of us and it will help them feel good, but it will also help us feel good because we need that connection. We need to feel that energy of a connection between two people.
Oh, I agree. And then when we have that connection and we've had a conversation with these people, the next thing, if you want to move that friendship forward, is to invite them to do something with you. Mm-hmm. Like you've had... I'm trying to think of an example. Let's say you are at a networking event, right? A business, you know, you're at work and you come across someone there you're working with and you strike up a conversation about the football game you watched last week. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that was awesome. And then the next thing would be to invite them over to your place to watch the next game, mm-hmm. you know, and that would be a form of inviting them to do something. Your topic went on to cars. You both work on cars and you invite mm-hmm. them to do cars with you or drawing, if you like, writing, and like any interests or passions that you have, you're sharing that and you're inviting them into your life to share that part of your life with them.
Right. So you make the connection first on something that you both value.
Mm-hmm.
And then you invite them to participate with you in that value.
Yeah.
And that's how you start a friendship, a connection.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it just meant being aware of their expectations. Like we all have expectations. Most of us don't like people farting in our presence.
Sure.
That's one of those unwritten rules that... most people tend to
share.
They tend to all share. Like they expect you not to do that, and when you do, then you have a broken expectation. You know.
Yeah.
That's a silly one. I'm trying to think of something that's may not be so obvious.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of them, like that we expect somebody to communicate with us in some way, or we expect somebody to be on time to something, or we expect somebody to let us know if they're not going to be on time, or you know, things like that, little things. Expect someone to let us know how they're feeling, or if we've hurt their feelings, to let us know that, or you know, there are a lot of expectations that we might have. Or expect somebody to want to spend time with us, as much time as we want them to, you know. And if they don't, then that's a broken expectation.
Yes.
So how do we? So we're managing our own expectations, or are we managing their expectations?
Both. Okay. Both. It's being aware of the expectations that you've set for yourself and being able to let those go. When I have a conversation with people today, I always expect them to start asking questions back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if they value me, then they're going to ask me questions. And when they're not asking me questions back, then that's a broken expectation of mine.
Right.
And I need to be aware of that. It makes me disappointed.
Right.
Because now that's, anytime I feel any negative emotion, there's some type of expectation of mine that that was broken, that I was unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them while communicating with people, is if there's not a lot of questions going back and forth, then then I lose interest in them because they don't have any interest in me.
Yeah.
And that's naturally what happens. And I've noticed that now, and I try to correct it where it doesn't matter anymore whether, or at least I tried that. I'm trying to move this mm-hmm. forward where it doesn't matter if they have an interest in me or not, because it's all about them.
Because it's how this can moment I in time. Serve them.
Right. I rarely ever invite them to do something afterwards just because I haven't received anything of value in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't asked anything about me, they know nothing about me at this point. Cause I've talked to them, asked them questions, and I've shared maybe a few things about myself just to keep the conversation, less of a interrogation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But they didn't ask for it, so they're not going to remember what I've shared, really. So that's one of my expectations that tends to get broken quite frequently.
So do we, now I think that we always have expectations. Do you think that the goal is, or the ideal would be to not have any expectations, or would it be to have certain types of expectations, or?
That is a good question. And that's one that I honestly do not know the answer to.
Mm.
I always strive to have as little expectations as possible and just be in the moment and look for things to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Because that's where we find happiness.
Yeah.
But at times, expectations, I don't know.
Do expectations...
I know there's a value in it.
Do expectations come from fear or love?
That is a good question.
I think maybe they come from fear, right? Like, because there's this quote, I think it's from a movie, maybe a Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
But it's fear isn't real. Like, fear only exists in our thoughts about the future.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, in the idea of what might go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like something that's actually happening in the moment. I mean, I think that even like if we're in a scary situation, like if someone came up and held us up at gunpoint, like we're only scared because, I mean, it's a legitimate fear. There's a guy with a gun, you know, he could shoot us, we could be hurt, you know, but it hasn't actually happened yet.
Yeah.
So the only reason we're afraid is because of what could maybe happen.
You know? Good point.
But like living and being in the moment, like you were talking about before, being in the moment, and finding things to be grateful for is kind of living without that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so it naturally takes away the expectations. Huh. Like there is no, it doesn't matter. Like you don't need anything more than what's actually happening right now.
That's a good observation. I like that. And that expectations come out of fear. And that's something I have to think about now.
Or scarcity. Like
or scarcity.
We feel like we're lacking something. So therefore we need something else. And so that's the expectation. I expect to get this from this person or...
Right. When I turn on the light switch, I expect a light to go on.
Yeah.
And when that light doesn't go on, maybe that is a fear.
That you're... The expectation is broken. But, you know, as opposed to like being in the moment, enjoying what actually is,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the room is dark, but I can appreciate something about that maybe.
All right.
Right? Like I can hear more. I'm not distracted by all the things around me. I can appreciate the fact that I can hear sounds.
Oh, it's true. There's been many times where I come home and I don't turn on the lights actually for that exact reason I don't want to see everything. I just want to, because there's certain thoughts and things that I want to continue to think about.
Uh-huh.
And as long as things are dark, then I can only focus on a few things at a time.
Yeah, because you get distracted by the visual.
Yeah, I am a very visual person. I get distracted with so many different things, and when I turn on the light, then I can see my guitar in the corner. I can see
and then you
the
think,
dishes in the sink.
Oh,
I can see.
Well, I need to do those dishes. Shoot, and then your mind is off and it's gone.
Yeah,
thinking about
it's gone.
All the things you're not doing right.
But if the lights is off, then I can finish the thought
having. So the expectation, even though it was kind of a funny, like a small example, the light doesn't turn on when I flip the switch. Like that expectation, but you could actually just really appreciate being in the darkness for something.
Yeah.
And then there's no expectation about. And so then if the light doesn't go on, it's not broken.
That's right. So I guess what we're saying is we've now set a value for having it being dark.
Yeah.
So whether the light goes on or off, we value the dark for what it is.
As much as we value the light.
Yeah.
And so that prevents
the expectation from becoming overwhelming.
Right. So, applying it to making friends is that if we can learn how to just appreciate what is, mm-hmm. and not what we want from somebody else or what they might give to us or what they, you know, feeling like we need something different than what we actually have right now in the moment, then we can really, we can really be happy for one, but we can really, I think, enjoy making connections a lot more.
Yeah.
Because there are no expectations to be broken. We're just appreciating what's actually real and true. Not wanting more, not needing less, just appreciating what is actually there. Appreciating what the person is currently offering to us.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a small amount, we're just appreciative of it.
So let's think of like the worst friend possible, just to give a scenario. Someone who's always late, who's always asking for stuff.
I have some that are always late. Or that.
And when you do hang out, all they're doing is talking about how miserable they are.
Yeah. Yeah, we that's have. Like yeah, the, for sure. There's some. Yeah.
That's about the worst friend I can think of. I'm sorry. I don't have anyone like that in my life currently, just so you know. But that's basically all my expectations have been broken at that point. And being able to value them for who they are.
Yeah.
Is challenging. Because at that point, I would naturally be... I would naturally have a desire to kind of push them out of my life because they bring no value into my life.
Or because they bring a negative value by changing your emotional state to one of negativity or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's...
But it, I think that the point is that...
Being able to appreciate them still.
Yeah. Being able to... Letting go of your expectations so that you have... So that whatever happens is great because there's some kind of value in it. There, right. You know... Oh, there's a person, you know, I can appreciate that I can hear the sound of their voice. I know that sounds kind of weird, right? Like straight, a little.
Well, it is funny, great. But it is good to be grateful for having people in your life, no matter what they are.
Because making a connection. They want to be here, you know, even if they're complaining or even if they're, people are complaining because they're in pain, right?
It's true.
So
it's
there's true. Like, there's, if we can learn how to kind of be in the moment and be more present, then I think we can also offer more help to people who, even just listening to somebody can help them.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. You know? But then how do you, like, I've come across people like that who are more acquaintances now in my life because I haven't taken those three steps, because as soon as you invite them into a part of your life, and then you're managing their expectations. I mean, you've now developed some type of friendship, no matter how big or small it is. Yeah. It's like, because you've now invited them to do something with you. Back to these guys, like the worst friend possible. I tend to not invite them to do things, so they stay acquaintances for me. And yet I still want to give and provide an opportunity to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. So I may invite them to group community activities. Like, I might invite them to something that we're part of a singles group. A group of single young adults who get together two or three times a week, and we just go do fun things. Mm-hmm. And we invite them to go to those activities, so they have some type of like community to be part of, because we all need a community. But other than that, I don't invite them into my personal life. And I'm saying this out loud to the audience, for those who are in that position, who they feel like they don't have any close friends and they don't have anyone that they can talk to because no one invites them into their life. Look at your life. Look at what you talk about. Do you talk about your struggles all the time? Are you always late? Are you always asking for things from people? Like, are these, what else? And these are the different things that you need to be aware of and make sure that you are providing value in turn for those. And letting go of your expectations, because the reason why you're so miserable all the time is because you've set way too many expectations and you're, and they're being broken all the time, and you just gotta let them go and be in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's probably pretty fair. That we often have a difficult time making connections with other people because of, our own attitudes, you know, and the way that we interact with people. But, and that, like, to be fair, I mean, I've had a lot of difficult time connecting with people throughout my life because of various, you know, anxieties and stuff, depression and stuff like that. So it can be difficult to not, because a lot of people sometimes they feel terrible all the time, no matter what. So it's like,
I can see that.
It's hard for them not to talk about their, or to just seem and act kind of gloomy, and you know, and people don't like to be around that. Right. But it's,
well,
because
I value your company though, because you've grown out of that from what I've seen. Even though you might feel miserable, or you don't express it in a way that pushes me away.
Well, I've kind of learned how to, I don't know if manage it is the right word, but how to try to be like engage in life a little bit in spite of it. But I guess my reason for bringing that up is just to say to those people who struggle, who can't seem to get there, like who struggle and they feel like I don't have any friends. You know, first of all, don't beat yourself up about that. And don't try to push yourself past what you have the strength to do too fast, you know? Mm-hmm. And be kind to yourself, because that's really what you're trying to do is when you're becoming present, when you're letting go of your expectations, is basically you're letting go of your fears, you're letting go of your self hatreds and your self, you know,
doubts
and your
anger for other people around you for what they've done in the past.
Yeah, and you're letting go of the negative emotions, so it's really kind of a healing process, emotional healing process, and it takes time. But you're trying to learn how to let go of your pain, of your pains, and then you're able to more fully embrace the being present in the moment, and then you find it easier to make connections with other people. You know, find it easier to be vulnerable and make those connections. So.
You've done a fabulous job on that.
Well, thank you.
I've always felt welcomed around you, and good. I think that's one of the reasons you and James and everyone here and I think we've all even taken the time to off the podcast. We've expressed our worries and fears, and we've all managed to share in a positive way.
I think in a vulnerable way, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's like, it's void of the bitterness, I guess, a little bit, but void of the anger or the fear, as much as just being true and honest about your experiences and your struggles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, I think what really helps the most is we share appreciation for each other when we're done.
Yeah.
And I think that's, more than anything, really helps to make that moment when we are sharing the hard times in our life stronger in our relationships, because we're still showing a deep appreciation for each other.
Yeah. You value a person and they value you, and then it doesn't, you know, you don't need to fix their problems and they don't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
But they just need to be valued.
Yep.
They need to be heard and listened to and cared about. So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's pretty good.
I hope that helps you guys with making friends. And in fact, please leave comments on social media for us if you have questions about making friends and the successes and the struggles that you're having in your process of developing relationships. Mm. Thanks for listening, guys. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think that's great. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Cheers.
See ya.